Well, good morning. You know, all of us are familiar with the Bible verse, Romans 8:28, and the verse says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." A few weeks ago, Irene and I, we had to go to Aiken, go to a funeral, and this was just some highlights of the message that the pastor shared. Some of it was good. Some of it convicted my heart. So I thought I would share it with you and maybe to even encourage you that Romans 8:28 does not say that all things are good, but rather that all things, both good and bad, work together for good, and how God can use our situations to make us better people. I think about Joseph in Egypt when he was in prison for all those years. He hated it there. But yet God used that to form him to the man he wanted him to be. You know, sometimes the world can make us bitter people, can't it? So I want to encourage you this morning as the worship band comes up is don't let it. Let God use your situations to form you to the kind of person he wants you to be. And be encouraged that all things are working together as long as you love him. Amen? All right, I'm going to turn over to you guys. Forgive me. While they're coming up, we're going to pray. Everybody close your eyes and bow your heads. Jesus, we love you. We're just so grateful for what you've done for us on the cross, your resurrection. Lord, you promise in your word, where two or more are gathered in your name, that you're right there with us. So Lord, we pray for your presence and your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. I guess you noticed already somebody's missing this morning. By the way, Children's Church, I don't know if there's any of the children in here. They're going to be back in the fellowship hall if you'd like to go. But, we're missing Libby this morning. And tough Sunday without Libby here. You guys, I don't know. You know, it's one of these things. I had to pick up a rental car this morning at 9 a.m. over in West Ashley. So you want to get there early. I told the lady on the phone, I said, I'm going to be speaking at church, and I need to get that car pretty quickly because I'm heading to Kentucky to see my dad after we finish, right? Well, there's a poor lady there early with me. She got to hear the whole sermon. They're standing outside the door, she survived it, so I think you will as well. But here we go. This is a five-word message. I sent a thing out on Facebook. Yes, some of you may have seen this. It said, I'm going to be starting a sermon tomorrow with some funny bumper stickers. What's the funniest bumper sticker you've seen lately? I might use your contribution. So I got a few of those in, and I have a few that, don't put them up on the screen yet, Joe, the others, but these are probably better than the ones I had, but here's a few of them. My sister sent this one. Faith it till you make it. I think I'm supposed to say fake it, instead of faith. Yeah, there you go. Here's another one. Honk if a kid falls out. Yeah. Here's one for you ladies trying to get rid of some guy hounding you. Support your local search and rescue. Get lost. Yeah. Where are you going when you die? Heaven or Ohio? Anybody from Ohio? Sorry about that. Now, let's see what else we got here. Do you follow Jesus this closely? That's a good one. Somebody wrote, nothing appropriate I can share with our pastor. The fact that they said our pastor, I like that part, that was good. Driver carries no cash. Have you seen that one? Well, you probably see this part. Just got married. Yeah. My other car is a piece of trash, too. Yes, that was it. And let's see, one more. I may be slow, but I'm ahead of you. Now, here's the ones that I looked up, so these will come up on the screen. You'll get to see them. I like this one. I actually saw this one. I break for biscuits. And I did this morning back here, yes. Yoga, a sport, that's a stretch. And here's one, I was afraid of this car. Mama ain't playing. Yes. I'm just 5 missed calls and 6 texts away. Another good one. Here's one. Takes a second to figure this one out. It says, watch out for the idiot right behind me. Yeah, I lost my turtle. Slowly recovering. And here's the best one. This is the real estate one, Cindy. My money is tied up in real estate. My realtor's tied up in Tijuana. So there you go. So when you talk about doing a 5-word message, you know, that's what bumper stickers. They're very small, you know, just a few words. So today we're going to use a message. I heard E.V. Hill, I think there's a photo of him that'll pop up with Billy Graham. E.V. Hill there on the right, great pastor from out of Los Angeles. So he's in heaven now. Billy's up there too. They're probably having a Bible study. But I heard this message one day that he did. I mean, and it's the outline. I kind of build around it. And it stuck with me. Kind of like what Charles was saying about the message about Romans 8:28. There are certain messages that just stay with you. And I actually used this outline over at Crossroads a while back, so you might recognize that. But the inside of the message is different because life is different today than it was back then. So here we go. E.B. Hill. He was talking about this, talking about taking an airplane flight from L.A. to New York, which is it's about 5 hours. Some of the stats that come up on this flight. Flight time is actually 5 hours, 15 minutes. Now, this was a while back. You could probably get there quicker now. I don't know. Probably depends on the air stream, the wind stream up there, too, you know, all that. Time in the air, 4 hours, 49 minutes. And in the flight distance, 2,475 miles. So what E.V. Hill did, he pulled his Bible out, and he opened it up to the 23rd Psalm. He took what he called meditation time on each word of that first verse. And he said he took about an hour on the first word. Now, I want you to think about it. Anybody good with U.S. geography? Anybody that would admit to that? Anybody good with geography? Kim, you're pretty good. So here we go. I may ask you a couple questions as we go, so be ready. Janine will help you in the back. She's right behind you, so don't worry. But so the first hour, he picks up his Bible, and he looks at that first word, and it's the word You want to write that in, you can. The. You know, we pronounce it differently depending on the next sound. You know, if it's a vowel sound, it's the. If it's a consonant, it's the. Believe it or not, the is the most used word in the English language. And if Bennett had been in here, he's helping back out in the back. I had him all queued up. I said, I was going to say, Bennett, what percentage of all words written in the English language are the word the? It's 7%. 7% of all words used in the English, I just said the English language, the. Okay, so you see the right there. What's the definition of the? And by the way, it's not a real winner in Scrabble either. If you use it in Scrabble, that's not going to help. Definition. A definite article designates a particular person, place, or thing as opposed to an indefinite article is general in its designation of a person, place, or thing. So if you say things like the University of South Carolina or where I went to seminary, you know, Kevin went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. That's a pretty cool name. I went to the one in Louisville, Kentucky. You know what it's called? The Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The is very important right there. You could tell Kevin that. He was in the biggest one. We were in the best, all right? So, yeah. Or if you're in a wedding, you hear the song, Here Comes the Bride. It's not like, here comes a bride. You know, the groom up in the front goes, hey, there's a bride. No, it's the bride. We're going to talk about that in a minute some more when we get to another word. But the is very specific. So we're thinking about the, in this situation, the one and only. The one and only. Look at some of these verses, and it will emphasize what we just said. In Exodus, You shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. The. It's a definite article. There's one. One and only. Exodus chapter 20, right at the beginning of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The Lord your God. The one and only. We've got a world right now that's trying to create all these different small g gods. Many, many g, small g. M-A-N-Y, M-I-N-I. Many, many small g gods. But there's only one. There's only one, folks. And that's who we're here to worship. I remember, and you know you use this word a lot. And if there's one and only of something that you notice, it becomes the item. Now, when I was in between high school and college, I worked, and I think I've told somebody this, I mowed grass in a cemetery. I told people I was a pusher over 5,200 people. But what happened, we used actually push mowers. But our boss had this blue truck. Okay, now yeah, some of you know what I'm about to say. Because he would drive off. And we would finish and take a little break, and everybody just kind of rest in there. And one person was kind of the lookout. And here comes the boss. Here's the blue truck. Now, there were a lot of trucks that went by. A lot of blue trucks went by. But we knew it wasn't his. When that boss came, phew, you better be up and moving around. The is an important word. The boss. The boss's truck. Look at what it says in John 14, 6. Everybody knows this verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he goes on to say, there's no other way to heaven except through me. The way, the truth, and the life. And talking about the one and only, remember in Matthew chapter 27, the crucifixion is taking place. The Roman soldiers are there. And listen to what this soldier says when he looks up and sees Jesus there. He says, truly, this was the Son of God. The Son of God. Wow. Not a son. The is a very important word. Now, E.V. Hill thought about that word all the way across. He was thinking about that for about an hour. So let's bring up the map again. Now, Kim, here's your question. You're about an hour in. That's about 500 miles. Anybody want to take a guess about where we are now? What, New Mexico or Arizona? I don't know. Maybe Colorado. Let's say Colorado. We're over Denver now, right? We're coming in. So now he's climbing. What's that? We're halfway already? Then the sermon's over. We're done. All right. So 1 hour in, he's already finished. He's been thinking about the word the. And I will say this too, folks. There are times and when you're reading the scripture, meditating on individual words is a great way to learn the scripture. Thinking about the deeper meaning. How many times we've said, you say the verse and then that's it. But to dwell on each part of it, meditate on it. Let's take us to the second word. And we're out about wherever we were on the map. Whoever said halfway there. Not quite halfway there. The word Lord. The Lord. Lord. We don't use that word a whole lot outside of the church. Some of the common ways that we hear it may be landlord. Somebody that is over some real estate or apartments. Lord of the Rings. You remember that movie? J.R. Tolkien, who actually led C.S. Lewis to Christ. I don't know if you know that. Or drug lord, other words like that. We use this every once in a while, but not a whole lot. So what does this word mean? What's the definition? Definition is one having power and authority over others. Boss, ruler, king, master, lord. So, you know, it's like a while ago, we're looking for the boss's truck. Why? Because he had some power and authority. We better be working when he shows up, right? So here are these verses again. Now think about this. We've already used these verses. Think of this again with the word the in front of it. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. The one Lord, the one who has authority, the boss. Or I am the Lord your God, Exodus chapter 20. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The one and only, the Lord. In the Old Testament, Lord is usually referring to God the Father. New Testament, many times it's talking about God the Father, but in a lot of cases it's talking about Jesus himself, who is the Lord. Great study of the word Lord. Look at Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, he's the boss, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, because not just for you, but for anybody you're witnessing to, this tells them how to be saved. How am I saved? I'm saved because I believe in my heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the master, the boss, the Lord. He's the ruler of my life. Here's a great quote right here. This is a professor up in Tennessee at Union University. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure, Tom, I was walking around the neighborhood today and I saw Union on the back of one of the cars. I don't know if it was Union University over there, but somebody in my neighborhood has Union on their car, and I thought, here it is. This is the professor. What does it mean to say that Jesus Christ is Lord? Listen to this. For Jesus to be Lord of your life means that he is the ruler, the boss, and the master of your whole life. He cannot be Lord of a part. He must be given control of the entire life, the whole life. Dr. Roger Wilmore, helps when you can read. Now, quickly, you've heard of a flash mob. You think about the word Lord, one of the great songs of all time that talks about King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was written by Handel in the Hallelujah Chorus. I used to ask the middle school kids, we were at the high school or middle school doing the Bible studies, I'd say, who wrote Handel's Messiah? And they're all thinking, oh, I don't know. I say, all right, you study that next week, come back and tell me who wrote Handel's Messiah, all right? Some of you are trying to figure that out too, but yeah, Handel is the answer, by the way. Now, you know what our commitment song is today? Another hallelujah. So be ready. Third word, the Lord is. So now, I don't know if we can go back to the flight pattern again, Joe, but the flight is like now into the thousandth mile. We're 1,000 miles out. We're 2 hours in. We're now what, Nebraska, Kansas? Is that a good guess, Jack? So we're coming across, and he's just now getting to the third word in his study, the Lord is. And think about that word, is. So the definition of the word is a very small word. We use it, don't even think about it sometimes. Present tense, third person singular of the word be. To exist presently. You know there's a great war against the existence of God these days. There's a great war against the existence of Jesus Christ. And we need to stand up and say, no, he is. He is. He exists. To be or not to be, the famous question from Hamlet. God is. The Lord is. Look at Exodus chapter 3 again. God said to Moses when he asked him what his name was, you remember this? I am who I am. Exists. He said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The word, the simple word, I am. My mom used to tell us in Sunday school, she's in heaven now, she would tell us, you know the Bible says there is no God. Did you know this? Did you know the Bible says, everybody looked up all of a sudden, yeah. But here's what it says, next verse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Wow. Sometimes we take things out of context, right? Important to see. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you know, you look around this room. There are a lot of things in this room you don't wonder about. Is that real? Is this stand? Boy, is that real? Is that pew you're sitting on? Is that real? Is this roof above us? Is that real? Is that really here? Just as those things, they are, that there's an is in them, there's also that same existence in God Himself. And I will say this, when you have things happen in your life where you know it's God, write it down. Write it down and keep track of it, because Satan wants to erase that from your memory as quickly as possible. But when God does something in your life and you see God at work, jot that down. Remember it. Great theologian Soren Kierkegaard, he was out of Denmark, said this, and this is a quote that I've used so many times, but if you listen to this, this blows you away. If there is no God, nothing matters. If there is a God, nothing else matters. Where are we right now in our world? We're at a point right now where a lot of things, even human life, to many people doesn't matter. Why do we have people going into schools and shopping malls and taking a gun and just shooting people at random or going down the street? Because life doesn't matter. There's no God in that situation. When we take God out of our society, nothing matters. When we put God back in, we put Him in our heart, and He's the Lord is, then He matters the most. Nothing else matters. Wow. Not only does He exist, but He's here with us. And He's the same that He was yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, another verse that you ought to have marked in your Bible. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What year did Calvary Baptist Church begin? Anybody know the date or the year? Sandy, you know the... About 40 years ago. You know what? Jesus Christ was there, the same, right there. Crossroads Church began around 2011-12. Is that right, Jason? Guess what? Jesus Christ was there. He was the same. Grace Point Church, 5 months now. I can't remember how, 6 months. Jesus there, same, yesterday, today. He's here today, the same that He was in each of those times. Matter of fact, 78 years ago today, Joe reminded me of this, something happened that changed our world. The atomic bomb went off in Hiroshima. I don't know if I say that right, but our world changed after that. The atomic bomb going off, it had never happened before. It's only happened one other time since, but it changed the way we think about everyday life. But Jesus Christ is the same before that, during that, after that. He's the same. And we can build our life upon that. I think there's a... Jeff Floyd is working on a sign that's going to go on the front out here. Let's see if we got it. That's a 25-foot sign that's going to go on the front of the church out there so that people will know the new name of the church is Grace Point. The lady I talked to this morning at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, I said, right next to Goodwill. Oh, Calvary Baptist. I said, that's the place. That's the place. And we are now Grace Point. And I said, come over. Well, she goes to church in North Charleston somewhere. But that's the idea, that Jesus Christ is here with us each step of the way. The Lord is. Fourth, as we move on, look at that flight path again. I'm guessing now we're over around St. Louis or maybe Pittsburgh. What do you think, Jack? A little further? Yeah, not the other way. Did I say it the other way? Ah, boy. So we're going to L.A. I don't know why we would go to either one of those places, but, yeah, it's like, so, yeah, they're good spots. You want to visit, you know, that's good. So anyway, we're over, let's say, Pittsburgh now, and E.V. Hill, seeing the fourth word, the Lord is my. Ooh, now there's a word, my. What does that mean? Small word. Definition. belonging to or associated with the speaker, of or relating to me or myself, especially as the possessor. My. Preschoolers love this word. Some of us love this word too. That's mine. Your dogs, if you have two dogs, they might like that. That's my bone, or that's my toy. That's my food. That sounds like me. But me, mine, my, it's there. One of the games I heard somebody do, and you could try this sometimes if you're having a gathering at your house, you put three ribbons on your shirt. Every time you use a word that says me, my, or mine, they take one of those off your shirt. Have you seen this game before, Pat? Would you last very long? You know, I wouldn't either. There's one of the I, me, my, boom, there it goes. Because what do we talk about? Me, my. If we focus on other people, maybe that's a lesson to be learned. But my is a very important word. Let's look at this. The Lord is my, is mine. Well, I'm driving to Kentucky today to see my dad. He's almost 94. He's in rehab right now, so pray for him. But last time I drove up, and I drove all night, and surprised him at breakfast. Walked in the assisted living place. He's sitting there with his buddies. Now, there's 8.1 billion people on this world, in this earth, right? That's going up, of course. I walk in that cafeteria, and I see him all the way across. That kind of breaks me up thinking about it. He goes, there's my son. It's like, what? There's my son. My. The word my becomes so important to us. The groom yesterday at the wedding, we're waiting for the bride to come through the gate. It's like we're in Jerusalem. Here's the gate. They're coming in. We're standing downtown, and they're coming in, and he's thinking, that's my bride. That's my bride. That's my future wife. As they come in, I think I told you guys this story. I was down in Savannah doing a wedding, and it was that same moment. It was like this moment where they bring up this carriage, and the dad or the brother, somebody is getting the bride out, and she's getting ready to come down the aisle. Everybody's up front waiting. I'm standing next to the groom, who's about 6'5", and he leans down to me as she's getting out of that carriage and stepping down into the aisle, and I'm thinking he's going to lean over and say to me, isn't my bride beautiful? That's not what he said, though. He leaned over and said, can you dance? I said, not really. He was worried about the first dance. He can't dance. I can't dance either, I suppose. Jason, can you dance? Obviously, Kevin can dance. We've seen him do it. Can Charles dance? Is he like, no dancing. Kevin's the only pastor here. Everybody behind you said, no, okay. So my bride, my son, and here it is. You ready? My Jesus. Jesus, we belong to him. He belongs to us too. You could say that. My Jesus. I never forget. It was the movie, the Passion of Christ. You remember that one where they went through, they had the beating and all that that took place. An amazing time. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but it was funny because it's interesting. Jason, I don't think you were even working at the church at that time, were you? We were just friends. I come in the theater to watch this movie. It's packed out. There's only one seat, and it's right next to Jason. I sit down with him. I'm going to tell you what happened in that movie in just a second. I want to read these scriptures first. Listen to this. Psalm 56:8. Remember the word my. You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Isaiah 43:3. Thus says the Lord who created you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. If you are his child, you belong to him. He says in Jeremiah 31, I have loved you, O my people, with an everlasting love, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to me. And then in that great moment, you remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples, they were all there except Thomas. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I see the nail prints in his hand, the scar in his side. And they were together again, and Jesus showed up. And if you remember what he did, he fell to his knees, and he said these words, my Lord and my God. The greatest confession right there, maybe one of the first confessions. You know, you heard the guy said, truly this is the Son of God, the Roman soldier. But for Thomas, did not need to see the hands, didn't need to see the side. He saw Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. I hope that's your thought today. So Jason and I are sitting there watching the Passion of Christ. They start whipping him. Four times I went to see the movie. Twice I had to get up and leave because it was so painful. Why? Because that's my Jesus that they're beating. It's my Jason they're putting on the cross. And Jason's sitting there next to me. I don't know if Jason remembers this or not. But when they got to that point of the worst beating of all, Jason went, ah, and he grabbed my leg. I think I had a bruise for about a week. But why would he do it? Because that's his Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. I pray that's the way you feel today. The Lord is my. We sing a song called My Jesus. It says, he makes a way. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Melanie's singing about her Jesus. His love is strong, his grace is free. And the good news is, I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Well, we're almost to New York, right? We're going the right way now. We're almost there. Fifth word. Coming across the end of Philadelphia or wherever up there. Getting ready to land. Last word. Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Definition. There's two blanks here because I'd give it away. A person who tends sheep. Pretty easy. Shepherd is a protector, provider, leader, comforter, friend, reassuring voice, strength, keeper, rescuer, savior. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. We are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. If you put my in front of those words that I mentioned a minute ago, he's my protector, my provider, my leader, my comforter, my friend, my reassuring voice, my strength, my keeper, my rescuer, my savior. There's a great photo that's come up lately on Facebook. I don't know if you've seen it. You probably have. It's a little... It's a picture of a shepherd. You can just kind of see him in the background. They're running through the woods and coming after this little lost sheep. What a picture of us. We're the sheep. We're the one that's lost. And he's coming after us to help us out. We're going to see that picture a few more times, but in Matthew chapter 18, there's this great story about the shepherd. The other night after youth, one of the leaders pulled me aside and said, you know, the shepherds had this little bag with stones in it. And like however many sheep they had that many pebbles or stones in their little pocket. And as the sheep came into the fold, they would move a stone over. And I don't know if this is just, maybe this is a story that's come down through the ages. It's not in the scripture, but it makes sense. Those stones come across. He's counting them out. He had 100 sheep, so he's going, 96, 97, 98, 99. Let's see what the scripture says here. Wow. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that did not wander away. So he's counting it out. 96, 97, 98, 99. What was that? There's a sheep lost in here somewhere. Jason, can you come down front here and help me out a little bit? Maybe Irene, come up here a little bit. Let's see if we can find this lamb. There is a lamb in here somewhere. How many of you have ever heard a lamb? You're pointing at Stevie. Let's see. They're looking. These are two of the best searchers I know right here. So, Irene found it. There it is. Give Irene a hand. She found the lost sheep, yes. And now there's rejoicing. Jason, come on up here a minute. When we were doing this, "The Lord is My Shepherd," I thought about a song that Sandy Patty did. Now, none of us can sing as high as Sandy Patty. Jason's close, but she's way up there, right? But it's called "Shepherd of My Heart." And I asked Irene about it, and I said, "Hey, think we could work this up and share it on Sunday." So here it is. The words are going to be on the screen. "The Lord is my shepherd. Maker of this heart of mine, you know me very well. Understand my deepest part more than I know myself. So when I face the darkness, when I need to find my way, I'll trust in you. Shepherd of my heart, keeper of this heart of mine, your patience has no end. You've loved me back into your arms time and time again. So if I start to wander like a lamb that's gone astray, I trust in you, Shepherd of my heart. You're the beacon of my night, you're the sunlight of my day. I can rest within your arms, I can know your loving. Let the storms rage all around, I'll trust in you, Shepherd of my heart. Giver of this life in me, you're what I'm living for all the money. You love me even more. So as I walk through valleys, listening for the Master's call, I'll trust in you, Shepherd of my heart. I'll trust in you, Shepherd of my heart. Thank you, Irene. Jason didn't do bad either, did he? Thank you, man. Love this guy. Closing out, "The Lord is my shepherd." What's the application here? I've got something with each of those words to apply to our life. The word "the," it's not on your outline. It's just for you to, you can write it down or just put it up here. The word "the," the focus on Jesus as the one and only. Focus on Jesus as the one and only. Lord, make sure Jesus is the boss of your life every day, 24/7. Is. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. so you know his presence. Don't spend time always wondering, is he really there? Is he really there? Build your life on the fact that he is. He is. My, hold tight to your Jesus. Share him unselfishly with others. Tell someone about your Jesus this week and pray that they can then say, he's my Jesus, just like you. And shepherd, don't fight the shepherd. Sheep tend to kind of get, you remember the old gong show? You remember they had to have that, it'd be like me telling a joke. They had this long crook like a staff and they'd pull them off the stage. Well, somebody said the other day, that's kind of what the shepherd would be doing with me. Just come this way, come this way, come this way. Don't fight the shepherd. Look at this. Let go and let God. Let go, let God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for simple, simple words with such deep meaning. Today, as we come to you, there's so many needs in all of our hearts. But you can meet every one of those because you're the shepherd of our heart. You're the shepherd of all the tough times. You're the shepherd of the good times. Help us to know that you are our shepherd, our Savior, our Lord. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's never given their life completely to you, their heart to you, I pray today would be a day of salvation. To pray and say, Lord, I want to do what you've called me to do. I want you to be the boss of my life, to be the king and the throne of my heart. For the Lord is my shepherd. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, truly, you are the shepherd of our heart. You are my Lord, our Lord. Help us to take that with us and share it with others, that we have a Savior who's personal. And Lord, if there's one here today still asking that question, is he really the Lord of my life? Find somebody. May they find somebody to talk to and pray with. Lord is my shepherd. We thank you for that. Lord, we love you. We praise you now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
One.